You and I thank, as many have done, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's good to have an audience where we look out and the auditorium is filled. It makes all of us, lights our fire and makes us feel a lot better about it. Excuse me. On March 1, on Saturday, I guess it was, Saturday, March 1, 2004, in Wichita, Kansas, the Wichita State Shockers dismembered my Missouri State Bears in a basketball game by the score. Thank you. Shall I start over? They dismembered the Bears by a score of 68-45. By the way, Doug, and I was hoping Calvin Spencer would be here, the Shockers were the best basketball team in Kansas last year. Yeah, they were very good. But the point I want to make from that story, or starting with those words, is a comment that was made by one of the men who was broadcasting the game on television that night. And he made the following comment. He said the Wichita State team was very good because they were very coachable, and because of their willingness to listen to their coach, they had become a better team. Now, the subject that was given to me for discussion this evening, and I apologize for my voice, I may have to send you out for cough drops. The subject that was given to me for discussion tonight was the development of a teachable heart. So really we want to think about what makes up a teachable heart. In the case of the basketball team I just mentioned, it was their willingness to listen, their willingness to take instruction, their desire to improve that made the difference. And I believe that the same kind of attitude is essential for us as well as we live our spiritual life. We need to have that willingness to listen, a willingness to take instruction, and a desire to improve over our present condition. And that's what I want to look at a couple for a moment on those three characteristics, and then we'll discuss some other things a little bit later. But a willingness, thank you, a willingness to listen. You know, I remember a story my dad used to tell years ago. It was about one of his brothers-in-law. And this man, who was my uncle, would go along with his father into Nevada, Missouri, to pick up supplies for the farm every Saturday. Now, my uncle was a very quiet man, but his father was, we might call, a talker. And so they would go in, and they would meet people from other farms, and they would discuss things. And they'd come back home at the end of the day, and my uncle would have all these pieces of information. He knew everything that was going on. His father didn't know a thing about that. The reason being is my uncle, Dad's brother-in-law, listened, and his dad talked. And so I think that we can get that principle. And the word listen really here has a stronger meaning than just acquiring information, as I want to apply it to God's plan of salvation and the things that are necessary for us to do as we live our Christian life. That is, we want to be hearing what the Scripture tells us about how we should live our life. You know, there are a number of Scriptures that we could turn to which talk about the need to listen. And, of course, along with that same connotation is more than just hear the words, but rather to apply them. Solomon made a number of these statements. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Chapter 8, verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 19 and 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise. Now, we think of Solomon, of course, in that context that he is a man of Proverbs who gave these wise sayings that we should listen to and improve our life. But he wasn't the only man in the Scripture that has that same kind of information. It was Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 10, and then chapter 28, verse 14, records this: hear the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah in chapter 2, verse 4, makes the same thing. And Ezekiel in chapter 34, verse 7, gives us again the same information. And the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So we should more than just hear the words. They are to make an impact on our lives. And there's a lot of other scriptures that we could turn to and quote that would give us this same kind of information. But these writings, which are written by men, inspired by God, are there for our information and to bring us closer to God. If we want to have a teachable heart, we have to listen to what the Scripture tells us to do, or what the Scripture says to us. So first of all, we need to be willing to listen. Then we're going into the next one, which is talking again using the same points about the commentator made about the basketball team, was their willingness to take instruction. You know, information is out there for us to use, and it's of no benefit to us if we're not willing to follow the information that's given to us. You know, the basketball team was, and because their willingness to follow the instructions of the coach and to do what he said, they improved and they became a winning team, a very good winning team. But if each player was allowed to do just what he wanted to do, what kind of record would they have as a team? We probably all know that. They might have won a few games, but they sure wouldn't have gone as far as they did. So it takes teamwork to produce a winning team, and it takes someone, a group of individuals who are willing to listen to instruction and to follow out and carry out that instruction. Not willing to listen and doing our own thing is not what God intended for us. He didn't intend that for His church. He didn't intend it for the world. He didn't intend it for individuals. And when that kind of attitude happens, the church suffers because of it. And I go back to the statement that's made in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, where it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we know the condition that was in Israel at that time. We as Christians need to be willing to receive the instructions contained in the Scriptures. And the early Christians, you used the examples that we have, that we should take advantage of those examples. And if we look at the Scriptures, it tells us that the early Christians did take advantage of those of that opportunity. Excuse me. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Tells us they that gladly received His word were baptized. This happens. Peter tells them what they had done. They say, what can we do? He tells them what to do. They then become baptized. And then they wanted to change their life. They wanted to make corrections in what they had done. They realized that they had a problem, and because of the problem that they had created for themselves, they needed to change. They needed to do some things different. And so when they heard Peter tell them this information, they did change and were improved. In addition to that, if we look on in verse 42 of chapter 41, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. I think you used that passage in yours as well. And in verse 46, it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men, and the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved. So they had this burning desire for more information. And because they wanted to find out every piece of information that they could from the apostles, they met on a daily basis to try to gather as much information as they could. They wanted to know more about Christ and what he had done. If we go on over a little farther in Acts, in chapter 8, verse 31, we have this statement: "How can I except some man guide me?" This is the story, of course, of Philip and the eunuch. Philip had just asked the eunuch as he was in the chariot, "Do you understand the things that you have read from the book of Isaiah?" And this was the eunuch's response: "How can I except some man guide me?" The eunuch wanted more information. He wanted to have a better understanding of what the passage said. And so we know then that Philip did that. But the attitude that the eunuch had of the desiring of information and wanting to know more and wanting to be correct in what he did is the most important thing. And we should have that same kind of attitude today in our lives as we do, we carry on from day to day. We should want to receive as much information about the Scriptures as we can. We are never, none of us, not you, not me, none of us will ever be in a position where we cannot learn additional information. And we need to have the attitude that we want to continue to get more information. We want to continue to grow in our spiritual life if we're going to have a teachable heart. Also, a condition of the team was they wanted to improve. And the condition, the key to success in anything that we do is the desire to be better than we were before. We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to be able to do something better than we have. You know, it applied to sports, as we've mentioned, the basketball team, but it applies to our job, our marriage, any other activity that we might engage in our lives. And I think it is particularly true in regard to our spiritual life. It takes an effort on our part to make the improvements that we should be making in our life. I'll give you another example, another sports example, if you will. Marilyn gets on to me sometimes for making too many sports examples. When Jeff, our middle son, which many of you know, was in junior high, he wanted to go to basketball camp at SMS. And he did. He stayed overnight in the dorm. It was a big deal. But they had a free throw contest. He knew that they had it. And so he wanted to win the free throw shooting contest. So before camp started, he went out in our driveway, and he probably shot 1,000 free throws a day getting ready for that. Well, he won the free throw contest. And the only way that he did was he put in the effort that was necessary to accomplish the goal that he wanted to accomplish. And that's the same thing with true with anything that we go about doing, including our spiritual life. We have to make the effort to improve, to grow, and to understand more in the future than we have in the past. We might ask the question, what have you done today to make your spiritual life better than what it was yesterday? And many of us, I'm afraid, would say nothing. And, of course, that's really a sad comment, a sad statement to make about ourselves. We should always be trying to improve and to get better. We should have that desire to improve. We should want to know more about the Scriptures. And we should want to be more like Jesus. And to do that, it requires us to have a teachable heart. Well, what are the traits of a teachable heart or a teachable person? There's a number of things that we could list, but we've listed a couple or three here. I guess actually five. A spirit of humility. Erwin Hall put it this way: we can't learn anything new until we admit we don't already know everything. You can't learn anything new until you admit you don't know it all. And how many people have we met in our life that seem to act or believe themselves that they don't need any additional information because they know it all already. A teachable person's approach to life is that they can learn from anybody regardless of the other person's status. A spirit of humility must be in us if we're going to be open to receive additional knowledge and truth. The second trait we might find is a hunger for wisdom. Many times it's been said, knowledge is proud because it knows so much, and wisdom is humbled because it knows so little. The wise realize that there's a lot more things to learn out there that they need to know. They need to increase their understanding, and they need to make that effort on a daily basis. You know, that's true of things in the world, but it's even more true or truer about our spiritual life or spiritual matters. If we think we have everything figured out about God and Christ and the church, we are in fact fooling ourselves. You know, the Bereans, when Paul preached to them, they did search the scriptures, it says, on a daily basis, Acts 17 and 11, to know, make sure that the things that Paul were saying was actually true. And you need to do the same thing with me tonight. You need to go home and check and make sure I haven't lied to you. But it's your responsibility to check me out. And you need to make the effort to do that. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I do not think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday." A third feature or third trait of a teachable heart or teachable person is open eyes, unclogged ears, and a closed mouth. We need to have the idea that we, or the attitude that we can learn, and as I used an example of my uncle earlier, we don't do it by talking. We only do it by listening and looking and taking advantage of the opportunities that we have to learn as much as we can from every situation that we encounter. Doug Larson, who was a reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette, says, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk." An open mind and a closed mouth provides an atmosphere conducive for learning. We need to see the things of God around us and listen to the teaching from the scriptures. And it's hard to learn something new when you're the one doing the talking. Another trait of a teachable person is a positive attitude. You know, how do you see life? You know, positive people see the opportunities that are available to them. They see the opportunities to learn in every situation. And even in adverse situations, they learn from those opportunities. You know, one of the things I can relate to this myself personally, after spending some number of years in management in various places. You know, I have worked for several different people over the course of my career. Most of them were good leaders. However, there were a few which were not such good leaders. And from the good leaders, I learned how to handle certain situations. I would look and remember how they did it and things worked. And because of that, I try to handle things in the same manner, in the same situations, to treat people in the same way. From the not such good leaders, I think about how they did it, how they handle things, then I do the opposite. So you can learn something from everyone. You learn how not to do something. You learn how to do something. But all these times you are growing and increasing your knowledge. And if you're not willing, if you're not a recipient, if you're not willing to be a recipient, then you won't be able to take advantage of those ideas. A person with a teachable spirit learns something from every source. And the fifth is a willingness to learn and to apply what is learned. A teachable person pursues truth. They want to find information. But in addition to that, they will also find ways to implement that truth in their lives. John Maxwell, who is an author of many books on leadership, some of you may have read some of his material, said, "The true value of teachability comes when we take something that we learn and apply it." You know, we are to be more than just listeners. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." So we're to take that information that we have, that we get from whatever source, and apply it so that we are better because of the experience that we've had. We're better because we've learned something on how to do something. We're better because of the experiences that have taken place. The only way to be a doer is to be a learner, and the only way to be a learner is to have a teachable spirit. So we ask the question to you, and maybe I ought to ask it to myself as well. Do I or do you have a teachable heart? You know, the whole purpose of this lesson was to show the need for us to realize that we need to continue to learn more about God and Christ as we live our physical lives so that we can improve and increase in our ability in our spiritual lives. That's what we're here for. We're here to be better Christians in the future than we have been in the past. And so that's what our goal should be. And that's why we're here today, to have the fellowship with each other and also to hear lessons from the speakers so far. If you haven't learned anything from the three speakers prior to me, you're either asleep or your hearing aid batteries were down one. Because they were good lessons. You know, one of the things you hate as a speaker is to follow a great speaker. And I'm following three of them, so I'm in really trouble today. David DeHaan, who is a writer and a speaker, said, "Lord, teach us from your holy word the truth that we must know, and help us share the joyous news of the blessings you bestow." Teach us from your holy word the truth that we must know, and help us apply it as we live our lives here. To have a teachable heart, you have to prepare your mind to do it. None of you go out, or at least probably, if you're going to plant a garden, you just don't go out in your yard and start throwing seed on the ground. You go out and you prepare the soil and you cultivate it and you plow it and you get it all together, and then you put your seed on it and cover it up with the dirt and you expect a harvest. And there's a statement that is made about Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Now, this was the time when Ezra was in Babylon. He was going back to Jerusalem to lead the people. He was the priest. He was going back to be the spiritual leader for the remnant of Israel that was going back from Babylon. And it says in 7 and 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments." Before Ezra began to carry out his responsibilities as being a spiritual leader for God's people, he prepared his own heart to be ready to do that. And we have to do that. If we want to have a teachable heart, we also have to prepare our heart. If we want to improve, we have to prepare our heart to be receptive to the teaching that is available to us. As we mentioned earlier, we need to have a spirit of humility. This is the traits of a teachable person. A spirit of humility, a listening attitude, a positive outlook, a willingness to learn and apply what we have learned. We might say a teachable heart is open to learning and is readily willing to conform his actions to God's word. And probably, maybe the best thing that I could do is not use my own words, but to use the words of someone else as we close this. This, again, from the book of Proverbs. chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Chapter 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Chapter 9, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Chapter 13, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Chapter 21, verse 11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and the wise is instructed, he received knowledge. And chapter 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, eat and drink, saith unto he, for the heart is not with thee. So as we think in our heart, we can receive the word, we can have that sort of attitude that is receptive to the teaching of God. And by receiving that teaching from the Scriptures, we then can apply it to our lives. So as we live our life, we then are better Christians. And we always are heading for that goal. I think we all would like to be more like Christ. We all would not like, you know, to commit the stupid stuff that I do, that we know we shouldn't do. But yet I do it anyway. Now, why is that? Is because maybe I haven't received as much instruction as I should, or I haven't taken it to my heart as much as I should. And I think each of us probably have some of those same conditions, that there are events happen that we let overcome us. And if we gain more knowledge, and if we have a willingness to listen and to accept the words of God, then we will truly have a teachable heart. We want to serve God and Christ to the best of our ability. And if we do so, then we need to listen to the instruction in God's Word and apply those instructions to our life. And we will be more like Christ in the future than we have been in the past. You know, the Christian life is one of continual growth. And to have that continual growth, we have to have a teachable heart. Hopefully, today, as we've covered this subject, as we've covered the other three already, we're going to offer the gospel invitation. We always do that because we never know exactly what's on people's mind, whether they have something has been said that causes them to have a change of heart themselves, where they want to be associated with the church, where they let their life slip a little bit and they want to come and get renewed. We're going to take advantage of that as we stand and as we sing.